We preach Christ crucified. If you've been around me very much, you know that I'm fascinated by the subject of the cross and the crucifixion and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It is the good news of the world that gives me hope and gives you hope today that we can believe that there is something beyond this world. So when I think of all the things that people sometimes preach on, health and wealth and how to be happy, if it's not about Jesus and Him crucified, you've missed the mark. Because we have one gospel, and it is Jesus Christ and Him crucified and raised from the dead on the third day. So several weeks ago, I preached on the old rugged cross and what a wondrous attraction it has to me. And it wasn't long before that I preached on the trials of Jesus and how that there were a number of different trials that Jesus endured. This morning I want to take a slightly different approach as we look at preaching Christ crucified. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23, Paul says, "We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." You see, when you study the crucifixion, you've come back to this single time in history, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that makes this world have hope, that changed the course of the world where it was headed. And I want to share our time this morning talking about just this idea of being crucified. Not only that Christ was crucified, and not only have we talked about what that meant and what the scourging was like and what being nailed to a cross was like, but I want to suggest to you that we are crucified with Christ. And when we look at that, I want to think about what have I crucified? What have I lost? What have I changed? If I am crucified with Christ, what does that mean? Well, the scripture is pretty plain in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." It's no longer about my life if I've crucified, if I've put to death the old man. What kind of new man is born in its place? What kind of direction do I have? What kind of example am I? What kind of Christian am I? And that's what I want to talk about. You see, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul went on to say that our old man was crucified with him. That's the man of sin and flesh. And that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be the slaves to sin. When you change your direction, when you change your focus, when you live for Him instead of live for yourself, you're no longer the slave of sin. I don't know how many of you struggle with bad habits. I'm not going to ask you what they are. Some people it's too much pecan pie. Some people it's other things. Some people struggle with their spirituality. Some people are enslaved by their desires. And that's why the old man has to die. And the biblical solution to this is Christian crucifixion of our old man. Somebody says, "Well, I don't like the sound of that, Keith. I don't like the idea that I need to be crucified." Paul said, "I have been crucified with Christ." And yes, it was a painful death, and I think sometimes as we are overcoming sin and Satan, that sometimes it's painful, and sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's not just quoting a Bible verse. It is always changing the way that we live. And so when I'm crucified, what have I crucified? What have I died to? When it talks about sin, specifically in your life, what has changed and what are you no longer enslaved to? Where have you found your freedom in Christ and why have you let Him become the master of your life, the Lord of Lords? Does it change the way you interact with people? Does it change your thought pattern about what heaven is and who should go there and how to get people to go to heaven? Because the old man that just looks out for self is the one that needs to be crucified. The old man that wants to be like just like this world, that needs to be crucified. The new man, the new creature that rises up out of the watery grave, ought to be the one that looks for heaven, believes in God's, motivated by Him and changed by Him. But there's something else that I want you to understand there. And this is kind of the second point I want to make this morning. That Christ was crucified for me. Now, I know He was crucified for all, but He was crucified for me, and what I want to do is make that crucifixion a personal gift. Who would you donate an organ to save? Who is it that you know that you would, I don't even know if you can do this, give a lung and still live? And my guess is that the list, if you were able to do that, if you were a good match and all the medical steps had been gone through, that it would be a fairly small list that you would give a lung or even a kidney or any other organ in your body that you would allow to be taken out. It would be somebody that you loved, somebody who cared about you. Oh, occasionally I'll read about somebody who's given their organ to help someone that they read about or heard about. I read about not long ago a teacher in a school who was a perfect match for one of the students, not even in her class, but she gave a kidney for that child. But how many of us would give an organ for our enemies? You see, Jesus was crucified for me while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And that's a different perspective on crucifixion at all. He was crucified for me. Galatians 3 and verse, the first couple of verses there, Paul's talking to that church and he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Christ Jesus was properly portrayed among you as crucified? Who's bewitched you? Who's changed your mind? Who's pulled a fast one on you that you've forgotten about this crucifixion?" You see, Jesus said in Matthew 20 and verse 28 that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. It's that last phrase that I want to focus on for a moment, that he gave his life a ransom for many. He gave his life to pay for your sins and for my sins, but it is very personal to me because without his blood, I have no hope of escaping hell. And I have no hope of entering into heaven if I don't accept the gift. It'll never be forced on you. He gave his life a ransom for many. Now, I've already asked who you would donate to. But let me ask you the question in reverse. Who would give something for you that might be cost them their life? I think that sometimes when we look at from that perspective, it's a very short list. Maybe our parents, maybe a brother or sister, maybe a husband or wife, maybe no one except Jesus. Who has bewitched you that you've turned away from this great gift? Who has charmed you into thinking that Christianity is not important? Who is it that points you in a different direction? Jesus came to give his life a ransom for many. That is to pay for your sins. And in doing that, Paul says to the Ephesian church in Ephesians chapter 5 and 2, "Walk in love also as Christ has loved us and given himself for us, an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma." Look at the verse, as Christ has given himself for us. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those who accept the gift. He's talking to those who have been crucified with him to be raised to walk in a new life. And if our life is not new, why is it not new? If our direction is not different, why is it not different? For he died for you that you might live for him. So as we begin to look at this idea of personal crucifixion of Jesus, because he did it for me, he did it for you, that should change us. Just the gift itself ought to catch our attention. In 1 Peter chapter 3, Peter's writing in verse 18, he says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust." We are the unjust in that verse. He is the just one who died for our sins, that he might bring us to God, that he might be the bridge, that he might be the one that draws us back into the love of God's arms. And the only way he could do that was being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. You see, not only are we crucified with him, we are raised with him in the likeness of his resurrection to live a life faithful to him. If I preach Jesus crucified, I must preach that you and I must be crucified, that old man of sin, that is, that the new man might rise up. That the new man, the new woman, the servant of Christ might be able to be effective in this world, we've got to be crucified. And so the Bible gets even more specific. You see, it is the flesh that's crucified in me. Unless anyone think that we're being morbid about the physical body, we're talking about this fleshly body as the one that's fighting Satan. We're talking about the sin of the physical body that has to be crucified. This physical body that follows after the world leads to an empty hole with an eternity of hell to look forward to. So if we go back to the book of Galatians in chapter 5, starting verse 16, Paul writes, and he's writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. When we are crucified, we walk by the Spirit. We don't walk by fleshly desires. I imagine in my thinking that temptation is another word for advertisement. You ever notice that? Whatever they're selling, whether it's a car or a hamburger, it is that pulling you in. You need this. Satan is the master advertiser. He is the master deceiver. He is the one that says you need this to be happy, and you need to be as wise as God, and you need to eat the fruit, and you need to be happy whether you're happy to the one you're with or not, and you just go out and you make yourself happy, and that's what it's all about, and it's not. Now, if you want to walk the path of the flesh and what this world says and anything goes, that's fine, but guess where you end up? Lost and without God. So there's a putting to death of the flesh, but that's not enough. There must be a rising of the Spirit. In order to truly be spiritual, you have to put the old man to death. That's the crucifixion of the flesh. In the Bible, specifically Galatians 5 and verse 24, goes on to say, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified the flesh with its fleshly passions and desires. We've put those to death. We've moved on to where we can attain higher goals and holier thoughts. In Romans 8 and verse 13, the apostle wrote again, and he said, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, and you will live. If you live just for what you want, you're going to die without the hope of heaven. But if you raise the life of the Spirit, then you get to live forever. People are funny. Have you noticed that? You ever talk to them? They're strange people. People are strange. All of those who are smiling have looked in the mirror, haven't you? And we come up with these awkward things, but Jesus is talking straight fact here. He's saying, if you just live for yourself, you're going to die. If you go in and your doctor says, your blood pressure's too high, your cholesterol's too high, your everything is too high, and you gotta change your diet, and you gotta change this, and you gotta do that, you cannot change it and die. A friend of mine I went to see as a physician one time, years ago. He thought he was funny, and I did sometimes, but not this time. I said, well, what's going on? He says, you're dying. I said, I am. What's wrong? He said, well, nothing right now, but we're all dying. I just thought I'd tell you that. The fleshly man is going to die. It's the spiritual that will last forever. And that needs to be fed, and that needs to be encouraged, and that needs to grow. But the old man needs to be crucified with Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter says, beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. When God comes back, may people look at your life and say, I saw Jesus in this person. In the way that we talk, in the way that we act, in the way that we hold the tenets of God is precious and true, because I tell you, people are falling every day. Religion worldwide is dropping in its influence of every sort, even those who don't claim to be Christian. So I have to crucify the flesh. It's not all about what pleases me, it's about what pleases Him. It's about being right with God, not just being right with myself. I know people will tell you, well, you got to be right with yourself to be happy. If you want to be happy, be right with God. Because God only wants your best. He created you. He knows what you need. If we would try to do the things that are pleasing to Him, we would be a different person. In fact, Paul goes on to talk about how the world was crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. There's a figure of speech going on there, but both ways I want you to look at that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18, Paul writes and says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And this is a passage that sometimes concerns me greatly, because I wonder, what is different since I became a Christian? What is different in your life since you became a Christian? What has become new? Has your love for God grown stronger and brighter than it was before? Has your moral compass changed in a way that God would be pleased? Has your world changed? Has your direction and your hope and influence over your children and your grandchildren and your children's children forever? Has that made become a different importance to you, that you believe that they need to know God, that they need to have a place called heaven, that they need to know who can walk with them through the valley of the shadow of death and still not fear evil? Because the good shepherd leads them through. But what does it mean? I'm crucified to the world and the world's crucified to me. I believe he's talking about sin that exists in this world. Galatians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, that epistle begins like this. Grace to you and peace from God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll just look at your face and it'll tell me all I need to know. How many believe that this present age is a little bit on the evil side? How many believe it's a lot? The world is not out to serve God today. And so if God's people don't stand up for truth, who will? Paul is saying, I'm not going to be guided by the world. You know, there's a new movie out every week. There's a new ball team that's playing every week, and everybody's got to go. Everybody's got to see this film, or everybody's got to go to this game, or everybody's go there. In the end of time, I promise you, it will never come up on the day of judgment whether you went to see Superman versus Batman. It will never come up if you ever went to the Super Bowl game. It will never come up if you made it to the World Series. But it will come up whether or not you are crucified with Christ, and whether you put this sinful world behind you and put heaven in front of you, that you understand the great sacrifice that God made in this present age, which he calls an evil age. Galatians 5 and verse 24, he goes on to say, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That simply means that we need to live in what we do spiritually. I don't want to be obtuse when I illustrate that, but that means that we're spiritual on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and start over again the next week, that we're not just spiritual for a couple of hours throughout the week, that we are directed by our Lord and Savior and our love for Him, our desire to do His will in this earth. This world, the Bible says, is an evil place, and our only way through it is to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. Galatians 6 and verse 14. The writer said, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so my question becomes even more important and imperative. Have you been crucified with him? Have you been crucified to the world? Has this world been crucified to you? Or are you crucified to the world? The things that say come and partake and be a part of and be like everybody else and enjoy the pleasures of, the Bible calls it sin for a season. It's a hard battle. And it's not fought once, it's fought all of our life. Every day it starts a new battle because Satan is relentless in trying to subvert and take your soul to hell. You need to understand that it doesn't stop there, that he's out to get us, and we have to make that commitment that I am crucified and I want to live the new life and not the old life. Maybe John recorded it best in 1 John Chapter 2, and with this reading we'll conclude the lesson. For he says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. The world is passing away in its lust, but he who does the will of the Father abides forever. If I preach Christ and him crucified, I must preach you and I crucified to this world. I'm amazed at God's great plan in his gospel. You and I don't have to go to a Roman cross and be nailed to it. All we have to do is say no to Satan in our everyday life. We have to put the spiritual above the physical, the eternal upon the temporary, the immortal upon the mortal. Have you been crucified with Christ? He was crucified for you. Have you accepted him in the way and direction of your life? Have you been raised to walk in that new life? If not, why not? And why not now? We're going to sing a song to encourage any who've not become Christians, that if you're a believer based upon the Word of God, that you'll repent of your sins, confess his name, that you're ready to be baptized upon your submission to Christ and that obedience of being baptized for the remission of your sins, being raised to walk up as this new creature. That is the death, burial, and resurrection according to Romans chapter 6. You can be a Christian and walk out of here a child of God, redeemed and washed clean. It may be that you've done that and fallen away somewhere and you need to come home. I don't have anything to preach to you this morning but Christ and Him crucified. But that demands that we be crucified to the flesh and raised to live in the Spirit. This morning, if we can help you, won't you come while we stand and while we sing?